I think it was this last rally, Templelot rally in January, I think that's when it was, where we were asked to mention somebody that's that has been kind of examples of faith to us. And I mentioned Brother Johnny and Sister Nana. And that was when I first joined the Church of Christ. I heard a lot of their testimonies about stepping out in faith, and when they did, God provided. And so I'm pleased that he's accepted the invitation to take my position for preaching tonight, and I look forward to what God has in store for us. Brother Johnny. Oh, and we are going to have a little different setup here. I'm going to actually read the scriptures in his sermon from over there. So it'll be a little bit different tonight, but hopefully it'll all work out. Johnny.
Good evening. Looks like afternoon. In Honduras, when it's 5:30, 6 o'clock, it's dark. So it's a little different here. I remember one time a Honduran lady was, we brought up from Honduras to have an open heart surgery. We got donations from a hospital and a doctor, and she was operated on. And our organization, Nan and I, CETA, paid for her trip. And she was operated on, and her heart was repaired, and she went back home. But she was up north during that time here, and it was in the evening, and it was chilly in Nana's mother's home up in northern Minnesota. And she looks out in the woods, and she says, "Oh, look at all the wood out there. It's just laying there, and they're not... We could just use that to heat the house." And I said, "No, they've got a propane furnace and they aren't using that. They don't use it, they just waste it." You know, and looking out at that, and she says, "It's just early in the afternoon. Real early in the afternoon, I could go and get some." And I said, "What time do you think it is?" She says, "I don't know." She says, "Maybe 2 o'clock. I said, "It's 9:30. So it was a shock for her. That was in northern Minnesota. I'm glad to be here. And I guess I should say I was called to be a priest when I was 20 years old. And God has blessed me so much you can't believe. My life is blessed with all the people that have come before me. Right now I'm writing my story of my life, and it's like a reflection of all the lives that have blessed my life. Of course, the most I would say is my dear wife, Nana, but there's no such thing as a most. We're all important to God, and that's who we're here to serve. I was called in my calling to preach repentance. So maybe it's an exciting time when things are happening, but my job is to teach repentance. And so that's what I'm going to do. And tonight, I have some ground rules. I'm going to preach repentance to you and me. And so these are ground rules. Look in at your heart. What do I need to know to be a child of our Savior, Jesus Christ? What do I need to know? What do you need tonight? Ask God. What do you need to know to be a child of our Savior, Jesus Christ? A real believer, an ambassador for Christ. That goes a little beyond an ambassador for Christ. I don't know what kind of ambassador you want to be. I was riding with a friend of mine from Independence the other day, and he took me over to Walmart over by 40 Highway. He pulls up a stop sign on the 40 highway, and my window passenger in his car was open. The car pulled up beside us, and his window was open. And the man that was driving said, what did he say? Good afternoon, brother, to the other man in the other car. Good afternoon, brother. Lord be with you. And the man says, yeah. And then my driver says, how are you doing today? And the guy says, not very good. I'm really low. And he said, we'll be praying for you, brother. The light turned and we went out. Now, we aren't going to all be that forward, and that, but it was wonderful. And I'll tell you, one time that very man, by being that forward, saved my life. I was riding with him. At that time, he had donated a truck for the refugee work in Honduras, he and his wife. And we were driving around, and I was to take it to Honduras. We were driving around, and I bumped the shift lever on my arm right here. And my arm's got a...
Stay in front of the mic, please.
My arm has a trick bone in it. This isn't going to stay down anyway.
That's good, right there.
Has a trick bone in it, and it just hurts. It got hurt once pulling a screen down when I was a teacher, and the screen fell out of the wall and clonked on me. So I just bumped and it hurts once in a while. And then he knew I had a sore ankle and I had something else wrong, I don't know what it was. Anyway, he starts driving down 23rd. And he crosses 291 and he drives into where the old hospital was. He pulls in there and I said, where are we going? Oh, we're gonna visit somebody, some friend. He said, you'll see. And he turns like that and parks. He says, come on. And he walks toward the emergency door. And he goes like this. This is my friend. He's a missionary from Honduras. And he needs a thorough examination. They took me right in. They gave me a complete examination. And I was, that next week, up in Minnesota, talking to Merlin, the pastor up at the local there, and I got a telephone call. I don't know how they knew where I was, but I got a telephone call. It was from the hospital. They said, your PSA is 9.7, and you need to get to a urologist immediately. So I did. I went to a urologist immediately, and I needed cancer surgery for prostate cancer. You know what? I'd be dead today. And I was going to go back to Honduras from the Twin Cities. I would have went to Honduras. Never had that physical. Sometimes we have to be overt. Sometimes we have to act on what we feel in our heart. But tonight we're going to talk about what we need to have in us. Then right now, I have these basic rules. In order to be an ambassador for Christ, right now, pray. It'll take you a couple seconds that I will be guided, your preacher will be guided, that you will find answers from the Word of God for your salvation. The Church of Christ, in the Church of Christ, we teach faith in Christ. We believe he was born of a virgin. He lived, he taught. Those miracles we heard about this morning happened. He healed those people and so forth. We really believe it happened, that he suffered. He was abused by the laws of that day. And he suffered, one suffered for all, so that we would have salvation. And he rose. and he was taken up, and he lives. He lives today. In one of my quotes tonight, it says, he is our priest. He is our Savior. So, we have to live in such a way, we believe that we should be obedient to the laws of God. In John, St. John, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. How simple is that? We have to make our choices to live as Christ wants us to live, in righteousness. Now, righteousness. I love what our pastor used to tell us back in Minneapolis. Righteousness is to choose good over evil in the presence of temptation. And that's what God, that's how he, why he put us here on the earth. So he will reap the reward, the joy that comes from having planted something and it grew correctly, in spite of all the troubles that it had to grow through. And we all have troubles that we have to grow through. But he's looking for the fruit, the pure fruit that we will become. We have to live in righteousness, which is to choose good over evil in the presence of temptation. No utopia promise for us while we're here. I've heard people talk of utopias, but no. We're called to be in the world, but not of it. Not out of the world, therefore above it. We're not any higher than our fellow creatures, but we're called to a higher sense of responsibility. He suffered once for all. We believe that. We have been given a plan of salvation and explained very well about how it operates. I want to go through that a little bit right now to refresh our memories and to ground the punchline in this delivery. Okay, would we start then with Hebrews chapter 5, verses 9 through 14. You can look it up. We're not quick at finding things. I cheated and put markers. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 9 through 14.
And then will we read through chapter 6, 1 through 6, continue right on through? Continue right on through chapter 6,
yes,
verse
6. Yes, then we'll go right on. Thank you.
Okay.
I have a mark on it. Then in Hebrews 6, 1 through 6. As well.
Hebrews 5, verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong drink. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of the hands, and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame.
This is talking, one thing important here is in 14, this is for, not for babes, this is for those who are able and willing and knowing to take the doctrine of Christ and plant it in their heart. Now I want us to read it in 2 Nephi chapter 6, 44 through 56, where it explains similar, but a little more thorough.
Second book of Nephi, chapter 6, verses 44 through 56. Mm-hmm. Oh, how great the holiness of our God! For he knoweth all things, and there is not anything save he knows it. And he cometh into the world that he may save all men, if they will hearken unto his voice. For behold, he suffereth the pains of all men, yea, the pains of every living creature, both men, women, and children, which belongeth to the family of God, of Adam.
Pardon me? He is our Savior. He suffered for our sins. We cannot suffer for our sins. That philosophy would be antichrist. Go on.
And he suffereth this, that the resurrection might pass upon all men, that all might stand before him at the great and judgment day. And he commandeth all men that they must repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And if they will not repent and believe in his name and be baptized in his name and endure to the end, they must be damned. For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, hath spoken it. Wherefore he hath given a law, and where there is no law given, there is no punishment. And where there is no punishment, there is no condemnation. And where there is no condemnation, the mercies of the Holy One of Israel hath claim upon them because of the atonement.
Pardon me. The mercies of the Holy One of Israel have claim upon them exactly equal to it has claim upon us when we repent. But they have no repentance required, but we have. It's kind of like this. There's zero here. I'm born. My mom sings to me about God. She teaches me to pray at my bed, and I grow, and I grow. And they go to church. I keep hearing the gospel, and I grow, and I grow. Pardon me.
Step in front of the mic.
Did you hear me? Sorry, I should move it. Okay, I'm born. My mom teaches me. I grow. They go to church, and I grow and learn about the Lord. And then, through the time of youth, I become interested in the plan of salvation, and I'm baptized. And guess what? I'm at zero. I've arrived. Now, what I do with that comes later. Okay, go on.
Verse 54, for they are delivered by the power of him, for the atonement satisfieth the demands of his justice upon all those who have not the law given to them. And they are delivered from that awful monster, death and hell, and the devil, and the lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. And they are restored to that God who gave them breath, which is the Holy One of Israel. But woe unto him that hath the law given, yea, that hath all the commandments of God, like unto us, and that transgresseth them, and that wasteth the days of his probation, for awful is his state.
We're not the scriptures don't tear things down, they build things up. Christ came to redeem all men, and he did. But we have to apply for that redemption. Let's go on and read in 2 Nephi, chapter 1, 65 through 81.
Second Book of Nephi, chapter 1, verses 65 through 81. For the Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the way is prepared from the fall of man, and salvation is free, and men are instructed sufficiently that they know good from evil. And the law is given unto men, and by the law no flesh is justified, or by the law men are cut off. Yea, by the temporal law they were cut off, and also by the spiritual law they perish from that which is good.
I want to explain that a little bit. It took me years to figure this out, probably. Okay, I've lived my life, and I've done some sinning, and I repented, I was baptized, now I'm moving on, and I do some more sins, but I repent. Let's say, even at the baptism time, I'm repenting of sins, I repent. They're gone. But if I didn't repent, they're still there. They keep piling up, till the day I die, they're all there. That's how it would have been without the mercy of Jesus Christ. Without his sacrifice, we'd be just raw. The memory of all our sins would be there, piling on us at the judgment day. But because of him, it won't be there. You're free. I remember one baptism, and the woman jumped out of the water and cried, "I'm clean, I'm clean." That's the way it is. He cleanses us. Okay. We're going to read now. We have more to go.
Yeah, more to go.
Okay, pardon me.
Verse 70. Yea, by the temporal law they were cut off, and also by the spiritual law they perish from that which is good, and become miserable forever. Wherefore, redemption cometh in and through the Holy Messiah, for he is full of grace and truth. Behold, he offereth himself a sacrifice for sin, to answer the ends of the law unto all those which have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and unto none else can the ends of the law be answered.
That can happen at any time in your life that you have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. It said that.
Verse 73. Wherefore, how great the importance to make these things known unto the inhabitants of the earth, that they may know that there is no flesh that can dwell in the presence of God, save it be through the merits and mercy and grace of the Holy Messiah, which layeth down his life according to the flesh, and taketh it again by the power of the Spirit, that he may bring to pass the resurrection of the dead, being the first that should rise. Wherefore he is the first fruits unto God, inasmuch that he shall make intercession for all the children of men, and they that believe in him shall be saved. And because of the intercession for all men come unto God, wherefore they stand in the presence of him to be judged of him according to the truth and holiness which is in him. Wherefore, the ends of the law which the Holy One hath given unto the inflicting of the punishment which is affixed, which punishment that is affixed is in opposition to that of the happiness which is affixed, to answer the ends of the atonement. For it must needs be that there is an opposition in all things.
And there is an opposition in all things. And we're planted in the middle to choose good over evil in the presence of temptation. Let's read in 2 Nephi chapter 1, 114 through 120.
Second Book of Nephi chapter 1, verses 114 through 120. But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him who knoweth all things. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at that great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man, and they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil.
Now we see by these words that we've read, and my responsibility is to teach the Word of God and thus support the work of helping us to know how we should grow in our salvation. We're grounded in the Word. I too. Okay, now let's step into our life. Here I am living now, and observe who we really are. That's what I said in the beginning. The rules I had to look in at ourselves. So now let's step into our life and observe. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 through 32.
Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 32. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath.
Pardon me. When my wife and I were married, we looked for, separately, a scripture that would help us. And we prayed, and we came upon this verse. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And we said, how is that going to help? Well, we're not going to let a disagreement continue into the next day. So there were some nights we hardly slept. And some of our friends thought we argued a lot. But we're both strong-minded people. And we both had work the Lord wanted us to do. So we had to iron it out. And sometimes it was tough. But that's what he's talking about. We should do that. We shouldn't just hold a grudge or say, oh, I am not talking about that, and still feel bad. We should say, I'm sorry, or please forgive me. And yes, I forgive you. I love you, my dear. Continue.
Continuing in verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
Would you read 28 again?
Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth.
Okay. I was walking home from Impalni and talking to the Lord about what was ahead and thinking.
Can you stay in front of me?
Oh, yeah. Walking home And I love to walk around. And a man stepped out in the little path street with a machete like this, and he says, "Give me your money." And when I saw him off, I wondered what he was doing. I said, "Well, Lord, don't give me any fear, you know." And he held up his hand like that and said, a machete is like a sword and sharp because they could grasp with it. Anyway, give me your money. Well, I had $2 in my pocket in my billfold. I was saving for the first cup of coffee when I went to the States again, but I didn't have any Honduran money. I was really without any. I said, I don't have any money. He said, give me your money. And I said, why don't you get a job and work for your living and feel good about it instead of attacking an old man on the street who don't have any money? It's kind of stupid, don't you think? You're a healthy young man. Go. There's plenty of work right now. Why don't you get a job? Give me your money. And he starts grabbing at me and pulling to find where my billfold was. Well, it's in my front pocket, but didn't have any money. And I just felt, why don't he learn? And I took my cane and whack and wrapped it around his neck. It's a metal aluminum cane. And he staggers a bit and I just am walking on. I said, remember, the Lord wants you to work that you might be able to give to others. And I went on my way, and he came up after me then and attacked me again after a ways. And I had my cell phone out. I had called my folks back home that I'll be home pretty soon. But this guy bothered me a bit. He saw my phone out and said, give me your phone. I said, no, it's my phone. And he grabbed it and got it from me. And I said, you know, you're really stupid. I said, what do you think I was doing to the phone? You better be out of here. The police will be along or something. And then a bicycle come up over the rise and he took off running. So he didn't get anything else. But this is a verse that says exactly that. Let him that stole steal no more, but work. And what do you feel when you work? You feel joy that you've accomplished something. You feel happy and fulfilled when you're able to support your family because of your work. He didn't have any of that.
Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Look at how much this applies to real life. Our lives, the word of God is powerful. Go ahead.
And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
See, there it is again, forgiving, even as God has forgiven us. Let's go to James 2, chapter 2, verse 13. This one shakes me.
Chapter 2, verse 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath shewed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment.
Can you imagine? Somebody could give up their whole salvation because they don't have mercy when somebody says, please forgive me. No matter why. My wife says, apologize anyway. Oh, but he did it. He caused it. Apologize anyway. Don't risk. Yes. Be quick to say, I'm sorry. Be quick to say, forgive me. Be quick to say, I want to change when you're talking to God. Okay, Mark 11, 24 through 26.
Mark chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses.
There it is. Same as James. If you don't forgive, he really will not. That's Christ's words in red. He won't forgive you your trespasses. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 23.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 23. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing.
Look at that. Pray without ceasing. Talk to God as you go about your daily life. How long has it been since you had the joy of talking to God and something turned out miraculous, wonderful? And you know, God helped you.
In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, after all of this, consider Alma 16, 227 through 235.
Alma chapter 16, verses 227 through 235. Yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer. And behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end.
Imagine, those words are so clear. Go on.
For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not prepare our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Ye cannot say when ye are brought to that awful crisis that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, ye cannot say this. For that same spirit which doth possess your bodies, at the time that ye go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, ye have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you and hath no place in you, and the devil hath all power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked. And this I know, because the Lord hath said, he dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth he dwell.
This is our Book of Mormon. This is the Word of God. We all know it. And I'll tell you today, I don't know a church that adheres 100% to this. There are many ways to avoid this created by theology, but this is the fact. this is how it is. So, as we close, and I know this is long and lots of words, I'm grateful to the Word of God. He has called me. He's given me authority to represent Him by the Word of God. And I guess He's holding us today to be accountable. So, what do I lack? Matthew 25, 31 through 46.
Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hunger, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
I was riding in an airplane one time, came up from Honduras. I was going to go to visit some people, Hmong people we sponsored, and they're now on their own lives and living in California. Darren helped me plan the whole trip, and I was going from, at that point, from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, straight to Los Angeles in the airplane. While on the airplane, a lady next to me, an older lady, struck up a conversation with me, and we talked. And I told her where I was going, and she says, Well, how are you going to get there? And I said, Well, I'm going to take a downtown bus and I named the route number, and it gets me downtown, and then I'm going to go on the Greyhound bus up north through the Stockton, California. And they have a special rate that's real reasonable. I can go up there. She said, but the city bus doesn't get to the Greyhound bus depot. You'll have to make some other arrangement when you get there. She talked to me. She was from South Africa. Her husband was a famous band leader. Her daughter is an actress in Hollywood. She said, here is my address. Here's my address in Florida. If on the way back you have any trouble, let me know. Here's my address in Los Angeles, in Hollywood. And I went, I got off. I did as was instructed. Darren's instructions were perfect. You go over here and up there and you get the buses. And the bus number that I was going to get wasn't there. Had trouble. There was another bus sitting there, and among person was a driver, not from the family we sponsored, but I talked to him about the families we sponsored and how they blessed our lives and stuff. And he says, well, I don't leave for another 45 minutes, he said. But you know what? There's nobody in the bus. And I'm going to make a call that the next bus can pick up. He says, and I've got some stops that I have to make. And he made some calls and he said, get in the bus. And he took his route all over Los Angeles. And he gets way downtown Los Angeles and he says, okay, we're right here. You get off and you walk across this street and you stand right there and there'll be, and he named the number of the bus coming along, and it'll be a lady and it'll take you right by the Greyhound bus depot, but you'll be behind the bus depot and she won't know to stop there. You have to tell her. So I did, and it turned out perfect. And now what am I saying? These people gave of their own time and heart for my need at that moment. When was the last time you did that? Or I did that? It's a very important thing. I was coming home from Phoenix on that cheap flight to go to Springfield. And Laura picked me up, my daughter Laura. And in the airport, I went to the bathroom and wait, and she's waiting for me. I come out there and she's talking with some lady. And then we go to the car and I'm wondering, who is this lady? I don't know her. And then Laura, who had to get a certain place at a certain time, but she was hurrying me along, and she drove into an area in Phoenix I'd never been. And I, afterwards, when the lady got out, I said, what was this? Who was that? And she says, oh, she had no way home. And she didn't have enough money for what they charged in the taxi, so we took her home. I said, okay, God bless you, sweetheart. God sees everything we do. We are called to follow these words, these scriptures. Next time somebody asks me, can I make a call on your cell phone? I guess I better say, yeah, okay. Be careful with it. Thank you for your attention. We all work together in this life to try to be what God wants us to be. And I pray for all of you that you'll make it and we'll all have joy. Like 2 Nephi said, 2 Nephi chapter 1 said, the goal he wants is for us to have joy in the presence of the Lord. Pray for me that I might make it. I fail too sometimes.
We have prayer service coming up this week. Do we have any other announcements? Okay, would you please turn with me to hymn number 280, and let's sing praise to our God.